This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Final hour on the Junks on a Misery Monday. Jason Bishop, Eric Bickle, taking your calls 800-636-1067 before we get to Craig Hoffman. At 9:20, I still can't believe that the Patriots lost that game. I'm just watching the highlights during the break. I mean, I cannot believe that they allowed that
play. Well, it was a brilliant run there at the end by Drake.
Oh, yeah, man,
brilliant. The way he just the field there.
The situation should have never even come to that.
No, of course not. That should never work. But every once in a while it will.
It did.
Every once in a while
Miracle
it will.
Miracle Miami down there.
That was very cool.
Huge win for the Dolphins. 800-636-1067, taking more of your calls.
You know, we haven't really touched on the specifics of the game because, I mean, it is what it is. Down 34 zip at the half, about as demoralizing as you could get until it got to 40 zip before the Skins finally pulled Sanchez, gave Josh Johnson a shot. He went in there and used his legs and, frankly, showed some poise in the pocket, I thought, and gave the offense some life. He actually, Josh Johnson, single-handedly is giving me a reason to watch next week. Not that I think he'll be extraordinary, but I think that he can be confident.
He just gives you more hope.
Gives me a little bit more hope that he can at least go up there and he can complete some passes.
That's funny because the week before,
I thought Sanchez
you said
competed.
The same thing about Sanchez.
I thought Sanchez competed. It was kind of gutty.
I just think it's hard to take a guy off the street and expect him to play well. Like he could do it for a quarter, maybe at a half, but for four quarters,
yeah,
it's a
and
lot
that'll, and that'll, you know, and it'll blow up in my face, I'm sure. But Josh Johnson single-handedly giving me personally a little reason to watch next week because, you know, I like to cling to there's still three games left to try to find a way to scrape nine wins. Jason thinks they're just going to lose seven straight. They're going to lose these last three. It's over. It's done. And he's probably right. The penalties are devastating. It's still an issue. That's a coaching issue. 15 now for 135 yards. Holdings, false starts, weird penalties. Only two for the Giants, by the way. And by the way, that's not a very good Giants team who didn't even have Odell Beckham Jr. It's a mediocre, struggling team. Maybe he's playing a little bit better. Eli's playing a little bit better. Saquon, obviously, is having a huge impact. But they held him to 37, 38 yards, whatever it was, the first go-around. And he completely dominated us this go-around. We were 2-for-11 on third downs. We couldn't move the football. Three interceptions by our two quarterbacks. The defense continues to fall off a cliff. There's no explanation for it. At least I can give Jay, if I wanted to, the cover of injuries. And Jay clearly now is throwing injuries out there as his own defense. Clearly frustrated in the presser. We played it earlier when Levero asked him about the disconnect between Jay saying that they practice different than the way they play on Sunday, then getting very defensive talking about the injuries. Well, at least I can kind of understand that. Defensively, they don't have that excuse, right? They've got the same cast of characters. A couple guys here and there, but for the most part, the same guys, and they're not getting the results. It's just really, really been bad. Something has to change. We all know Bruce's record now, 58-82-1 in his 9 years here since he's been in charge of D.C. That's the obvious first guy that we hope to go, but you never know with Dan. I've been saying all show today, we need to do a deep dive into Dan's inner circle. Find who are the people that have influence over Dan Snyder.
Yeah.
I thought it was interesting, and I never really pay attention to this, but, you know, Bruce is not in that box, right? He's in there with the coaches. I guess he's got himself involved in replay. So who's in there with Dan on Sundays watching the games? Who's he huddling up to and talking to? Those are the people that have influence over him. Dan has showed in years past the inclination to want to make quick changes, in-season changes, to just make change for the sake of change. He hasn't really been that guy the last few years. So
well,
I know he has it in him.
We'll see if he does it because something's got to change ASAP.
Something's got to change.
And I'll just say this about the Giants. No, they're not a good football team, but they've won 4 out of 5. They're turning into a better football team.
They're playing better.
And the difference is they have a quality starting, you know, veteran quarterback yesterday who, when you give him time, he's going to kill you. And they had the best player on the field in Barkley.
Yeah.
So there was just a lot more weapons there. And when you start a guy like Sanchez and then you have to bring in Josh Johnson, you really have no hope.
All right, let's go to – we have zero hope when you give up 40 points.
Yep.
Let's go to Sterling in D.C. Sterling, what's up, buddy? You're on with the Junks.
Hey, what's up, guys? Thanks for giving me the time to talk. Listen,
sure.
I'm a consumer, and the Redskins are a business. And as a consumer, they're making it hard for me to continue to support them. Listen, we can't control Dan Snyder or Bruce Allen's ineptness, but I don't have the time or crayons to explain why we can't. I'm calling on Skins fans to take a hard look at their continued support for this team.
It's waning, though. Look at the stadium.
It's waning. Listen, would you continue to go to a restaurant with poor ambiance, the food comes out cold or warm,
of course,
bad drinks, bad service? You wouldn't. So, again, calling on Redskins fans to take a hard look at their continued support for this team, because if they're making it very, very difficult as a consumer to continue to support them.
What about
Thanks
this?
For your time.
I hate to do this. I don't like to do this. It's not in my nature, but just anything to change the football team. What if you started boycotting sponsors that support the Skins? Or is that crazy? Like, what if you just stopped using FedEx?
Right.
I don't know. That's how desperate we are as fans. Like, what can we do?
What other sponsors could you boycott?
I don't know. I mean, they'll probably sponsor our show too. So I shouldn't say that.
I don't want to kill like La Famina and Steve Zipp and all those guys.
Those guys are great,
but their job's hard enough.
Yeah.
I just think that if there's not one Redskins fan in the building, maybe that's enough of a message. Problem is, there's always going to be Skins fans there.
Yeah, but
even if it's 15 or 20,000.
It's dwindling big time, and they obviously see that. Let's go to Mo and Largo quickly. Mo, what's up?
Hey, fellas. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
You know, we make an interesting point about boycotting the games, but I really don't think that that's going to change things, because that's not going to change the man. We are totally underestimating the value of his presence on the organization. I've been afforded the opportunity to have been around him, been around another NFL owner and other billionaires. And the way he acts amongst people that have nothing that he stands to not benefit anything from,
mm-hmm.
I mean, he could care less about him, you know? And so to give him an excuse of, well, he's kind of normal because he's a billionaire, because of what you perceive the billionaire to be, at the end of the day, he's still a man. And the way that he conducts himself with people around him, that's the reason why
Well, that was just one. That's just one person's opinion. That was just D'Angelo's opinion.
I understand. But one thing we can say, the common denominator amongst all these years of inadequacy and inconsistency is our ownership and the inadequacy of that position up there. I mean, look at how he treats the fans, trying to sue old ladies.
You're right.
Can't walk down public.
But there's nothing
sidewalk.
We're going to do. We're stuck with him.
But what are you going to do?
We're stuck with him.
No, I understand. But what I'm saying, though, is the worse it gets, it's going to press them even further to try to get this stadium deal done, because without a new stadium, people are just going to stop going to the games. You know, so and
yeah, but
not
even that'll wear off. Even new stadium shtick wears off after a while.
I mean, even if they keep losing, they might not go to the new stadium.
I don't know, bro. I mean, having gone to that stadium down in Dallas, I could see going to that stadium, even if we were told, because the experience was worth it. You know what I'm saying? But you go to FedEx Field, it's a terrible experience in the stadium. We suck on the field, and then getting out of there is no fun at all either. So at the end of the day, things are not going to change as long as that man is at the top of the ladder. Point blank, period. Thank you, Mo.
Let's go to Victoria, Rockville, ladies first. Victoria, what's up? You're on with the Junks.
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I really enjoy the show.
Thanks.
I really want to talk about the penalties. I mean, I think it's absurd. They lost 135 yards in penalties.
Yeah, right.
You can't help the injuries or any of those other things that are out of control. But the penalties, that's ridiculous. And I don't know if that's a Jay Gruden problem or coaching or where that comes from.
Well, I think it's a combination of a couple of things. Yes, I mean, there's obviously not enough attention paid to the details in practice. But you also, when you have all these guys that you're pulling off the street.
They're scrambling to just try to get guys lined up.
Like the Coopers of the world and Howard and all these guys who haven't practiced with the team. And then you can bring in a new quarterback whose cadence is a little different. You can see those guys jumping a little bit. There's just a lot of reasons.
But on the season, though, they're still like 28th or 29th in most penalized teams.
I think they're bottom five.
Yeah. I think they're averaging about 7.3 a game.
And at the end of the day, that's on the coaches. I agree.
Yeah.
But when, you know, guys who you just signed off the street are having false start penalties, you can kind of see
it. Or guys playing out of position.
You can kind of see it.
Yeah.
You expected it almost.
Let's go to Lewis, Norfolk. Lewis, what's up? You're on with the Junks.
Hey, appreciate you guys. But, you know, I hear what everybody is saying. But my issue and not what I think about it is if you get rid of Josh Norman is not doing what he's supposed to do. If you don't play a cover two, Josh Norman is crazy. Josh Norman takes the first bite. You can look at it. Every time he plays, he always blames somebody else when he make a mistake. Get rid of Trent Williams. Get rid of Reed. He gets hurt too much. Get rid of Jay Gruden. He got to go. Send him down there to his brother. Maybe his brother can teach him. You know what I mean? It's terrible. And I'm a Redskins fan. And let me say this. I played with the Redskins in 1976 on the practice squad. And when we had the owner, oh, man, he was out there. He was like a Jimmy Jones. He was out there telling you, talking to you, trying to encourage you. You don't even see the owners down there. You don't even see Jay Gruden. Jay Gruden is sorry. Why would you go for a bomb when you only got 2 yards to get a first down? Stupid play calling. It's terrible as a coach. Terrible.
Thank you, Lewis. Thank you, buddy. The frustration is real. Let's go to Guy, Silver Spring. Guy, what's up?
Hey, thank you. EB, I'm glad you're not on vacation because you're exactly who I need to talk to. I grew up diehard Redskins fan. My parents put an Art Monk jersey on me when I was a baby. And,
right.
It's not even just the lack of winning. It's the lack of sustained success, and we're missing out on generations of fans that just aren't happening. Like, your son doesn't even care, you know? And, you know, it's just every year it's the same thing, you know? And we try and plug it with high draft picks or a pricey free agent, and it just doesn't work. And I don't really know how to fix it. And I just don't know what else to watch for, you know? And it's upsetting because we have some quality guys on this team. We've got a lightning in a bottle in Adrian Peterson this year, which came out of nowhere. And it just doesn't, no matter who we bring in, it doesn't change anything, you know?
Well, they probably don't know how to fix it either. That's what's sad.
Yeah, and, you know, and I'm tired of people complaining about Snyder. I mean, like you said, you know, that's not going to change anytime soon.
Yeah,
we've got a better chance of NFL bringing an expansion franchise to fix it than that. But, you know, what idiots are in the front office that are making all these moves, you know?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's kind of pointless to complain about it, but that is the root of the problem. So if you're going to complain about something, you're going to start with the root of the problem, and right now it's obviously Dan Snyder.
Yeah, but I still feel like you can win with Dan if Dan fires Bruce and brings in, like, you know, hits a home run. And I don't know who it is. I don't know if it's DaCosta or Scott Pioli or somebody in-house that's some boy genius that's been there for, you know, Eric Schaefer, everybody raves. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Whoever it is, they hit a home run with that hire, I think you could still win under Dan Snyder if he backs off. And by all appearances' sake, he seems to have backed off. The problem is he's got a buffoon in charge of the whole operation, a legitimate buffoon.
You know what's amazing is people probably said that about Jeff or Jerry Jones. Jerry Jones is pretty, I mean,
he's
the owner.
He's the GM.
He's the GM.
He's the GM.
He's the one pulling off all these trades from Mark Cooper. You know, he's got his team.
He hadn't been overly successful.
5 straight wins. True.
He hadn't been overly successful.
But he is this year.
But at least he's accessible to the fans, to the media. You know what you got? Dan is this friggin' enigma. I honestly don't know what he's like other than stories. The stories are epic.
And you probably will
the
never.
The legendary stories you hear of people that work on him or work on his house or work on his, you know all kinds of projects with him. I mean, they're legendary stories.
Right.
Douche stories.
Well, I mean, you've heard about, you know, how people are treated
but,
when
but
they really
But he doesn't
know
make himself available. So no, really? He doesn't explain himself. We don't know how he thinks.
And he probably never will.
Yep. All right. When we come back, we got our guy, Craig Hoffman, our Skins beat reporter. Don't go anywhere.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
All right, let's talk to our good friend Craig Hoffman, Redskins beat reporter for The Fan, who had to Endure or whatever that was yesterday. I turned it off after three quarters. I didn't even watch the last quarter, to be honest with you. But I want to know what the locker room was like when you had to talk to those guys. We heard what Swearinger said. We heard what Norman said.
We heard Jay.
But how hard was that to have to go up to those players and talk about that game? What a disaster.
I thought that's what was going to happen, so I kind of was ready for it and expected it as part of the job. I mean, being around that building hasn't been fun in a couple of weeks, so at this point, it's par for the course. They were mad. They were upset. I get it, but there's questions that need to be asked now more than when they're winning. Like, sure, they're more fun to ask when they're winning, but now it's like, what's going on here? Please try to explain to us what is happening. What is it that we're not seeing that by and large, especially on the defensive side, the same group of players and the same group of coaches is producing very different results. And so I think that's part of your job as a reporter is just to, you know, it's they're mad, you know, to give you the insight in the locker room. Like, they're mad, they're upset, they're mystified at what is happening. But, you know, as a reporter, you're the one trying to solve the mystery in many ways.
So Jay was maybe as visibly defensive as I can remember him. Certainly in recent weeks, I don't know, over his five-year tenure. And he maybe has a right to. I mean, the injuries have been devastating. But sort of what was your take on his overall demeanor? Seemed very, very defensive.
Especially when you asked him about the offense. He seemed more mystified on the defensive stuff and, you know, right. Standard kind of coach answer. You got to look at the tape, blah, blah, yeah. blah. But I think he is extraordinarily frustrated by the injuries and what has happened as a result of those injuries, that he feels like Jay thinks he's good at offense. Yeah. And he's right. Jay is good at offense. Is he McVay, Nagy, those guys? Maybe not. But he's good at offense. And he feels like he can't even be good at offense right now because he doesn't have the guards to protect his quarterback or do anything in his run game. And the quarterback obviously was a disaster yesterday when Sanchez was in the game. So I think it's like, oh, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. Like, I call the plays. They're good plays. If they would just do their jobs, the plays would work. And unfortunately, that's just not the reality of the situation they're in right now. They've got to find things that can work. And I feel like he's probably tried a lot. And even, you know, you don't even try a lot. You actually try a little. You try the things that are the simplest, that have maybe the lowest risk-reward ratio. Like, this should work, even if it's not going to be awesome, and hopefully we can string a couple of them together. You know, some of the quick game and stuff like that. And, you know, I think that's why he responded so defiantly to my question of, like, what didn't work for Mark, which was probably poorly worded on my part. You know, why was Mark ineffective? What didn't happen that you thought could? Probably would have been better ways to ask that. But that's why he was just like, nothing worked. I tried everything and nothing worked, because he's calling quick game and things like that, where it's 3 to 5 step drops and get the ball out, and Sanchez is taking sacks. And some of those are on the O-line giving up immediate pressure, but a lot of those were on Mark just not seeing the field at all and not getting rid of the football.
Yeah, he looked lost. I mean, he was holding on to it way too long, and, you know, he had the tip pick. The other one kind of wasn't his fault. It was kind of a drop, but he just didn't look comfortable out there at all. Now, let me ask you this. Do you think Gruden is a screamer and a yeller behind closed doors?
On occasion is the sense I've gotten. Like, there's been a couple of times this year where he's gotten after guys or gotten after them as a whole. Obviously, there was – I don't know if he was really yelling at them on Thursday or whatever day the practice was that everyone made the big hoopla about. About, you know, hey, we talked to him longer after. I think that was more of like a stern talking to. I'm pretty sure after New Orleans there were some fireworks. But I don't know, like, how much good does screaming at Austin Howard do?
Right, right.
He's a tackle who's not very good, who's playing guard.
And there's a reason he wasn't in the league until you get desperate.
Right, and he's not even playing at his position.
Yeah.
Like, he's a tackle. He's not a guard. And they played him at guard yesterday, and it was a disaster. So I don't know who you yell at that point. You know, does he yell at his staff at that point, being like, I can't believe this is what we're doing? Like, we've got to coach better. But at that point, too, you're screaming at adults. And these players are adults, too. I don't know how often getting screamed at as an adult is going to be responded to positively.
How much of Josh Johnson's success was simply due to the game was already out of hand, the Giants started playing different defensively? Because he did give them a spark. He did get, like, as a Redskins fan, he gave me a reason to want to tune in next week. If we didn't have that, I mean, I would just advise everyone not even turn it on. But at least,
by the way,
yeah,
Redskins players said the same thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Peterson and Norman and Swearinger all said, like, and Norman flat out said, the only reason I'm talking to you is because Josh Johnson played well, and that gave me some hope.
Right. Right. Right.
So in terms of how comfortable he or why.
I mean, is that because they just completely backed off and they just had already punted at that point?
I would say he was comfortable. Now, it's going to take watching the actual All-22 back, which I'll probably watch a little bit of the first quarter, and I will skip the second and third until Johnson comes in, and then I will watch that because that seems like something that is worth paying attention to moving forward. Mm-hmm. The endless amounts of three and outs in between, I think I can probably skip. But – I don't know. I don't have a great sense of it yet, but he was definitely comfortable, which tells me a couple of definitive things. He knows the playbook. The play calls that were coming into his ear, even if it was a limited number of them, he knew what to do. That was a step up from Sanchez. Sanchez could not process and operate the offense, although I did feel bad for him early with some of the drops when he was making some good throws, and then he just stopped trusting everything. So Johnson felt comfortable. Two, he is athletic. That stuff is real. Yep. And he's in shape, too. You know, we can all joke about this AAFL or whatever he was the first overall pick of some league that I'd never heard of before. But he at least was working out and getting ready to play football, even if he didn't expect it to be in the NFL. And even if it was at a level that he felt comfortable playing in a charity basketball game last weekend, which is what he was doing. But the athleticism and the actual cardio and all that stuff of being in shape is very real. Can he repeat that? That I don't know. He did make some really high-level throws, too. The throw to Doxson on the sidelines, awesome.
Yeah.
So if he can continue to do that, maybe he's like, you know, what we thought Colt might be. That to me is like the ceiling of what he is.
That'd be amazing.
Absolutely. If they can do that and the defense, which I have less hope for, can pull, you know, whatever out of their whatever, then maybe they can win a couple of games down the stretch. Jacksonville's terrible. Like, if this is an ultimate, like, do you care or not type of game, because Jacksonville is awful right now. They're worse at quarterback, arguably, with Cody Kessler right now. So it's a bad, you know, it's two teams going in a bad way this weekend.
They probably don't care. I mean, talk about a team that probably had given up. But then 2 weeks ago, they shut out one of the best offenses in the league. So if they want to play, especially on their own in their home stadium.
Who's
getting
up for the Redskins right now, though?
That is true.
With all due respect. You know,
you may not have to get up for him.
Yeah, and who knows? But, you know, as far as Johnson goes, like, I think there were some good things. There's some positive signs. He's definitely your starter, and we'll see where he is by the end of the week.
So this is what struck me about watching that game yesterday. Watching all of the games, okay, and I flipped around and watched all of the games. San Francisco's a bad football team. Oakland is a bad football team. Now, I know Oakland's got their franchise quarterback, but San Francisco has a third-string quarterback, and they're beating the Broncos, who are right in the playoff mix. Oakland beat a division leader, right? Even though they're bad football teams, you still can compete. Washington right now is an awful football team, and they didn't compete. But when Jay says, yeah, our guys competed, they did their best, that's just not true. You're not down 40-0 if you're doing your best.
That's actually a bigger issue.
That's a poor excuse.
If it is, it's a bigger issue. And I kind of asked Peterson that after the game. I was like, you know, you say guys are competing, and if you're competing and this is the result, why should you have hope? And that's when he was like, well, Johnson started moving the offense a little bit, and, you know, I think that gives us a little bit moving forward. But you're right. And look, there are guys competing, and that's the hardest thing about talking about football, I think, often, is there are 53 players or 46 on game day, and, you know, making blatant statements is pretty dangerous. You know, when Josh Johnson gets picked off at the goal line late, Jameson Crowder was busting his tail to try to make a tackle. That Jameson Crowder was out there trying, and credit to him and his teammates that continue to grind. And Josh Johnson's out there competing, like, you know, he's celebrating touchdowns and stuff because he didn't think he was going to get this opportunity. And, like, honestly, I'm okay with it. So things like that, but especially on the defensive side where there just seems to be this lackadaisical mentality, I would say, you know, it's not even like within the plays necessarily, are you giving extra effort? Are you rallying to the ball? But then it's like you give up a play and you see guys jogging off the field like, oh, well, it wasn't my fault. And that kind of body language and that kind of stuff infiltrates into your play because it is your subconscious of, I got to give everything, you know, are you locked in? Versus, are you just kind of going through the motions? I'm supposed to be here.
Who can you call out some people? I mean, not to be a jerk, but I mean, whose body language don't you like?
I mean, I've noticed Swearinger jog off the field multiple times kind of with that. And like, I don't want to be body language doctor. You know,
yeah,
I think that's dangerous. I mean, in my position, I don't know it's the best use of best use of my reporting skills. But, like, you know, you do see, like, DJ jogging off. And the reason I'm willing to put his name on it is because, I mean, his comments basically said this is not my fault. And so, I mean, that gives us the insight into his psyche as well and, you know, the merits of whether he's right or wrong. I mean, a lot of these plays aren't his fault. But I think is if you're a leader, you know, on a team, then you're looking at a different kind of approach to that where are you – when you watch the tape back, right, like he's yelling at guys and you're like, is that really what that guy needs right now to be demonstrably shown up in the middle of a game? You know, if Ha-Ha Clinton Dix takes a bad angle and guy scores a 76-yard touchdown and you're just jogging off the field, like, kind of like, you know, and it could be viewed as a positive. Like, okay, it's not bothering him. He's ready to go back, take a look, and get ready for the next snap too, or the next series too. But I just feel like the general demeanor for a lot of players right now is like, this ain't my fault. This is this other guy or this other coach, or we're not being put in this position to succeed, as opposed to, I think, great teams consistently, everybody takes ownership even when it's not their fault.
I know Eric has some hope because he's a Skins fan, and Josh Johnson showed a little spark. Okay.
Yeah, I want to have a little hope. I want to have a little hope.
And I'm fine with that. No,
we're in the hope business.
I believe the Skins will lose all three of these, and they'll finish at 0-7, and something's going to have to be done. Now, and we've been talking about this for 4 hours. Can Jay just say, you know what, how can you fire me when my top two quarterbacks broke their legs? I've got, you know, six stringers playing.
Well, you just starting, say it's bad luck then.
Starting
Sorry.
A guard. Can he save his job that way, or does Bruce have to just clean house, Dan have to clean house? Doesn't matter how it happened. It's just it's a part of the job.
I think you, if you're Jay, your argument would be, well, I'll make the argument for the former, and then, you know, we can discuss the latter. The former would be you go to whoever is making the decision, whether that be Bruce or Dan, and say, look, exactly, my quarterbacks both broke their legs. Alex was starting to finally get comfortable. You know, I trust Colt moving forward. I think we can do something with him next year. And we're going to, you know, obviously probably bring someone else in here. And, you know, I'm good with quarterbacks and can develop them. I'll also make some staff changes. And defensively, we're wiping out the staff. That's not my fault. Like, that's maybe I'll be more hands on in the future or whatever, whatever you want me to do. I'll take ownership of it. But this year, that wasn't on me.
Let me go a step further real quick, and then you can get back to it. But when Alex got hurt, they had just beaten the Bucks. All right, they're playing the Texans. If they could have, you know, you could argue that they would have beaten the Texans with Alex if he had stayed healthy.
You can make an argument that if Josh Doctson gets a PI call that's blatant and the league said was PI 3 days later, that Dustin Hopkins' field goal is 36 instead of 63.
Correct.
If they win.
And then you're 7-3 going into the Cowboy game. 7-3, and you still have your starter. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's a viable argument.
Yeah, for sure. And I think that the counter argument would be on the defensive side, especially, is like, Jay, this would be your fourth coordinator. Like, you don't get to hire four defensive coordinators. Sorry, at some point there's something bigger going on here, and you're not good enough at doing that to put together a complete football team to win. But so I think there's counters on both sides. You know, obviously, I think it's I don't think. One, I never will get on the radio and advocate outside of, like, you know, the Maryland strength coach. What happened with that? Like, I felt pretty comfortable saying that guy doesn't belong to have a job. But for performance-based stuff, I'm happy to evaluate someone's performance, but calling for people's jobs, I just don't think is a good – like, these are grown folks with families. And I always have that perspective as someone who works with them. But Bruce has not done a good job in 9 years. I think that's the safest statement you can say today in Washington, D.C., and so Dan's going to have to look at that. But does Dan like Bruce and think that Bruce can still, you know, hire someone else? But at that point, you're also looking at, okay, Bruce would be on his, what, third, fourth head coach? That typically doesn't happen in this league either, to have a third head coach. So I think there's a lot of, you know, if they're going to make moves, they're either going to have to do some things that are pretty unprecedented in terms of giving guys that are here a leash, or they're going to have to clean house. I think both are on the table. But I think it also does depend on how this goes down over the final three games, because Dan has shown in his past, although he's been loyal the past couple of years here, to be emotional. And he was a fan far before he was an owner. And that has to seep into his thinking somehow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think it's reached a feature. He's going to have to do something. All right, listen, we got to run. Thank you, Craig. We appreciate it, buddy.
Yeah, absolutely. Have a good rest of the show.
Yeah, you too. All right, Craig Hoffman, Skins Beat Reporter.
Because think about it. I mean, Gruden could easily say, hey, if Alex doesn't break his leg, we're going to beat the Texans, and we're up. We're 7-3.
I know, but then you're just going to say, well, what happened the other 4 years? You only got the one playoff game.
That is true.
Your record's terrible. But, it just didn't work. You say sometimes life isn't fair, Jay.
But this looked like
good guy.
This looked like
there
was their best team that he's had. It looked like it.
Not really. Even when they were 6-3, we all knew they were a bit of a fraud. They couldn't move the ball offensively, and the defense was.
Yeah, but they were getting it done.
It was that whole win and ugly
bit. And they brought in Alex to do exactly what he was doing, not turn the ball over, even though they were averaging 17 a game.
But that's
how quickly the season changed with that injury. They went from a possible 7-3 to now they're 6-7, and I think they'll be 6-10.
Well, as I said last week, no one collapses like my team collapses.
Well, they have perfected it.
We have perfected collapsing. All right, cold Washington weather is here, people, with no end in sight. Want to stay warm all season long? Trust the 5-star technicians at the amazing Kropp Metcalf for all of your heating, maintenance, repair, replacement, and service agreement needs. Give them a call at 1-800-GO-CROP or visit croppmetcalf.com. Kropp Metcalf, home of the 5-star technician, now proudly serving Fauquier County, Culpeper County, and the surrounding Piedmont area. Call 1-800-GO-CROP to schedule your appointment or visit croppmetcalf.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, so during the break, Eric, I guess the Redskins tweeted out an interview that Josh Johnson did after the game.
Yeah, he's just doing a little stand-up there with the guys.
And it sounded interesting. I didn't hear all of it.
Yeah, I want to play a little bit for you. You know, if you get bored, we'll stop it. But I got to tell you, man, that's your guy now.
It's
my underdog of the week.
That's my guy
I root for. I'm an underdog guy.
Yep.
And so, I mean, imagine being 32, whatever he is, being in the league since 2009. You've been on a bunch of different teams. Every year he's been on a team. He's only had an opportunity to start 5 games.
Right.
And at this point, was out of the league, was playing for some goofy league, was playing charity basketball, just kind of keeping himself ready. And
he was number one overall pick in the Alliance League.
And he says all the right things afterwards. I like his demeanor. I like everything about the guy. But, you know, we don't know much about him. I'm going to say 99% of this town had never even heard of this guy before they picked him up on Wednesday. But here's a little of Josh Johnson.
By the way, he's been
after the game.
He's been with about 13 teams if you include the practice squads.
Yeah, you got to include that. He's been on a roster every year.
Yeah,
it's not like he's been out of football. Although he was when they signed him, but he's been on a roster every year.
Josh, coming into this game, how much of the offense did you feel like you knew, and then how did you feel when you got out there and you started having to execute it?
When I got in on Wednesday. Going through the game plan, I felt pretty comfortable. A lot of stuff was familiar what I've done with Coach Gruden from Cincinnati, done with his brother in Tampa and Oakland. So I was pretty excited about that. But obviously, there were new things. So I just had to, you know, just grind away like I've done numerous of times in my career. I've been in this situation so much.
In terms of, you know, actually getting out there during the week and getting snaps, how prepared did you feel coming into Sunday compared to or coming in today compared to where you hope to feel next week?
Just to go against the defense, I was able to, you know, rewatch the film and just focus on the things that I know is necessary to be a productive quarterback with regards to footwork, timing. And so I was able to get that down by going against our defense. I really didn't have a clue how it would go in the game because I didn't get reps with the real guys. But, I mean, at the end of the day, I've been doing this long enough. So at the end of the day, just go out there and trust your reads, trust your coaching, and just see what happens.
How did the field actually go out when you see it?
It felt good, man. It felt good to really just go out there and experience some success with these guys. For myself, I mean, I haven't played in a long time. Always been itching to get out there in a real game. I had the opportunity and just wanted to take advantage of it.
All right, that's good.
Think about this. So the last time.
What a freak athlete.
Before last night, Josh Johnson, the last time he threw a pass in the NFL in a regular season game, Jay Gruden was the offensive coordinator at the Bengals,
mm-hmm.
and RG3 was still in college.
Mm-hmm.
That's how long it's been.
No, I know. It's absolutely crazy.
It's been it, 7 years.
It is remarkable what he was able to do. Now, again, my argument is he's been on teams. He's been on practice squads. He's been part of rosters every year.
Mm-hmm.
Just hasn't had an opportunity in a real game to do it since 2011 or whatever it was.
2011.
But think about his journey and to be able to kind of just show up on a Wednesday, not expect to play really, and then you're out there and you're the only spark. You're the only thing to be hopeful for. You're the only thing that showed any life offensively. And now you're starting next week? That's insane.
It's crazy.
What a freak athlete. And he's got his head on straight. Man, I am rooting for that dude. And, you know, let's not get crazy.
Seems like a good guy.
Let's just hope he can get through the game, start it, finish it, and, you know, maybe put some points on the board.
Stay healthy.
Stay healthy.
Because he hasn't played in a long time.
And just getting back to that for a second here, you know, last we'd heard, last night, Alex Smith is still in the hospital. And, you know, I didn't want to say at the time when I said multiple surgeries, but the number I had heard last week was 4. It's being reported now as many as maybe 6 surgeries. They even have to go in there and take that plate out that they put in initially. Think about that. Alex Smith went in there for, you know, fractured leg, compound fracture, serious deal. Infection's a big risk, we've all learned. But that was weeks ago. He's still in hospital.
Now, does the infection, I mean, I know.
Colt McCoy had the same injury. Now, I don't believe it broke through the skin.
Right.
And was in and out within hours.
Well, that's where the danger of the infection is. When
exactly.
When the bone breaks through the skin. But I'm just wondering, does the infection come at, you know, when he's being carried off the field? Is the infection acquired in the hospital? Like, where do you get the infection?
I don't know.
And I know the infection can happen like that.
And I don't know. And then they know about it, so you know they were treating it for a pot, you know, trying to prevent that from the beginning, because then everyone is aware. It's like the most obvious thing. When you have a compound fracture like that, infection, you have to be very, very careful about.
Yeah.
For it to still happen, and with someone who you know is getting elite-level care, you assume, it's insane.
It's the worst thing.
It's just a terrible, terrible, terrible story.
I'm pretty confident in saying I don't think he's ever going to play again. I know that's been reported, but when you think about it, you just hope that he walks again the right way. Like he can walk
that he
normally.
Can walk and keep his leg.
Right. Keep his leg. And
then
if you do
surgeries.
Keep your leg, just be able to run around with your kids.
Yeah. It's terrible. The Alex Smith situation is terrifying. It's awful. Hopefully we get some positive news here in the next few weeks. But the fact that he's still in there is just crazy. And it's actually crazy that they were able to keep that under wraps as long as they did.
So he's been in the hospital ever since the day of the...
Not sure if he went home once or twice. I don't know that.
I'm guessing he probably did. Maybe he got the infection at home. I don't know. That's a great question.
I don't think he's been released. I don't think he has.
So he's been in the hospital.
I'm not going to report that,
ever
Jason.
Since the Texans, that game, that day.
They've been battling infection from the get-go.
Mm.
So, I don't know. Keep,
but
keep
I can
that.
See why you'd say you're rooting for Josh Johnson. Obviously, you're going to root for him if you're a Skins fan.
Oh, of course.
But
and I
the
rooted
story
for Sanchez, too. And I thought Sanchez played with a ton of heart and guts last week, and I thought he was trying his best this week. He gets, you know, even the announcers talking about it, he really got hoard of some of these drops.
But see, that's a whole different challenge when you are the starter and the team you're playing knows you're the starter and they game plan
well,
for
that's
you.
That's true. But he also didn't seem to feel comfortable himself. Like, you know, even though they had the backups in there, Josh Johnson was oblivious to sort of the pressure. He stood tall. I will say this. Sanchez, that one time, I was impressed. He had the guy draped around his ankle, and he stood in there and tried to make a throw. And I think he threw it. He made a good throw.
It
the guy
dropped
it.
Crowder dropped it.
That was a courageous play by Sanchez.
I think it might have been a third and long.
Yeah, that was a courageous play by Sanchez standing in there. Yeah. But a lot of the other times, he was just falling down. I mean, you know, just whatever.
Yeah.
Didn't have
it's
the
like
presence.
Deer in headlights.
But Johnson, Josh came in there and had some presence to him. So it's something. It's something to grasp onto, and I do think that Jacksonville's terrible. So,
well, I mean, based on their record, they are. They've got Cody Kessler as the quarterback. Their running back's been hurt all year. They really can't score points, but they do have studs on the defense. If those guys want to play, they can make life hell for Josh Johnson.
Yeah, and you'll probably be right. They'll probably lose them all, but I'm going to hold out some hope here. In the next couple days, here it's just Jason and I this week. I like to let's get Jerry Brewer on. I know he'll do every radio show in the country probably today, but maybe we can get him on tomorrow. His take on it's time to let Bruce go. Well, that's been that time for years. I'd also like to, Drabby, we got to investigate somehow, and we got to find a way to get some insight into some of these other people around Dan. That's my thing today. I want people that know the Shars, the other guys, the advisors.
Rothman.
Yeah. We got to get some insight from people that know those people.
Does anybody know, what's his name, Robert Rothman?
Because we don't really know Dan. We just know stories.
Probably never going to know Dan.
He doesn't make himself available. No. But maybe we could get some insight into the people around him. Because somebody obviously is telling him to hold on to Bruce. Somebody is. But I think we might be nearing the end.
What if someone's saying get rid of him and he's just defiant?
I think we could be getting the near of it. I think we might be near the end of the tenure. I think it's getting so loud because he even got rid of Vinny, and Vinny was.
It's going to be really interesting to see what happens with Jay, because you can make an argument on both sides. Yes, Jay has not been successful in his entire 5 years here. He's had losing.
You got to look at the body of work. Just look at it this year,
and I can't defend that. But for this year,
he's been snake bitten this year.
Yeah.
But
worst luck in the league.
The body of work says it's time to make a change. The walls are caving in on him.
But the fact that the players, like veterans, are just criticizing the coaching staff led by Jay Gruden, that says a lot.
The players need to play better too.
Well, especially Swearinger.
Yeah.
Right. I mean the DB. I felt like Barkley could score on every play every time he touched it. That's how wide open those holes were.
Well, there are also guys that we were leaving wide open. And we still don't know how to defend the pick play.
And then how is Shepard that wide open in the end zone?
Don't know.
Crazy.
Don't know. I told you last week I would have let Minuski go. Something's got to change. You got to have a reason for hope here.
All right. Well, thanks for listening today, boys and girls. So we got Grant and Danny up next. I'm sure you're going to get a lot more of the Skins talk. We'll talk to you tomorrow on a Tuesday. See ya.
Okay. Picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.